Hey, what is up, guys? Welcome to this episode of the Ace of Spada podcast, hosted by your boy right here, Anthony Spada. And on today's episode, I am joined by James Manley, a online fitness coach, and also helps a corporation run their own wellness program. It was a pretty cool, unique opportunity to actually see this balance that James actually carries in his life. He's a very busy man. As you might hear, he might go from my place to go pick up his kids from football. It's pretty cool to kind of see him being a superstar dad and also balancing his own business. And we touch on a lot of those parts of his life and how he got to where he is today. So hope you guys enjoy and hope you guys take a lot away before we even get to the episode. As you guys know, the podcast has teamed up with Morphogen Nutrition to offer you guys the best supplements in the game. You know, they are my favorite, especially during some stressful times. Morphocom is probably one of the best. Adaptogen is a good one too while you're also kind of stressed out. So definitely go check them out. Use code SPADA at checkout for 10% off all supplements. And lastly, as you guys know, I own my own coaching company, Symbiote Strength. If you want to create a bond between a coach and yourself that will breed superhuman abilities, definitely come think about signing up. Let's get on a call. Let's get you on the team. So link is in the show notes to the coaching application, or you could just go over to either at Symbiote Strength on Instagram or at Spada Fitness. Coaching application is in both those bios, so don't feel afraid. Come message me if you have any questions or anything, but I don't want to waste any more of your guys' time. So let's get to episode 99. Let's welcome on James Manley.
That's a huge component. Wins and losses is like something, you know, everybody always has setbacks, but it always sets up something pretty cool. That's how I always see it. Every time I've had a setback in life, there's always been another door that opens. And, you know, I've been preaching that too for the past now. I don't know if you saw, you probably didn't, actually you might have seen, but I just finally did a year of podcasting. It's like, it's pretty insane to do it for a year and be like, I didn't think this is where it was going to go, but it's gone here. And you know, it's nice, led man. Me,
congrats.
It's led me to having every single guest on the show. So now it's just a pleasure to kind of be able to talk with another person within your friend group, which is just seems to be a commonality that I always have them on my show.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. And that's what it's about, man. It's just building a solid network of just individuals, like-minded people that are all trying to take themselves to another level. Because at the end of the day, you guys feed off of each other, right? So we are always, you know, in text threads, Instagram, tagging each other and whatnot, just to continue to say, hey man, I'm here for you and support what you do. So no, yeah, the network is definitely something that is a must.
Yeah, I think I was actually reading a post that you written, and this is something I wanted to touch on, and we'll just touch on this now before we, I guess we get into a little bit of your background. But you know, it's kind of the being lonely type thing that a lot of people always say, with whether it's entrepreneurship or anything that you truly find as a passion. A lot of people always say that, you know, it might be the road less taken, but that doesn't mean, to me, it doesn't mean you're going to be lonely in a sense. Like there's two different definitions of lonely,
I feel. Yeah, for sure. No, yeah, I definitely agree with that. And, you know, because that's the one thing in the beginning, I would say that the journey is lonely because you decide to maybe separate from a belief that maybe the majority of your friend group that you're currently in believes, where you may not have that popular idea or that popular approach towards whatever goals that you're after. You say, hey, I'm going to do something different. And in the beginning, it may be a little lonely, but there is always ways to attack that, right? I feel like I'm a huge person on energy, where, you know, once you level up that thinking, that thought process, what will soon happen is you'll start to attract the right people. So it's not even necessarily from like a, you know, your friends disown you, which you'll probably have some of that, where you'll have people like kind of like fall off, you know, the face of the earth that you're pretty tight with. But there's always, you know, more people. It's what we're almost at, like 8 billion people in the world right now. You can't be worried about one or two people. So yeah, in the beginning, I would say, you know, you do experience some of that physical loneliness, right? And just because you're doing something that a lot of people aren't doing, especially when it comes to health and fitness. You know, it's easy to say, you know, I remember my earlier years of before I, you know, got serious about my health, like kind of just fall into the crowd, right? Of just saying, you know, I'm gonna go party on the nights, the weekends, and I don't care what I eat, drink, and how I sleep. Like, none of that really matters. And that's just because that's the easy route to go, and that's what everyone's doing. But when you wake up and you're like, oh shit, like, what am I really leading to? What is my life amounting to at the end of the day? And how am I taking care of myself to be at my best? When you wake up and that happens, and you start to be like kind of the odd one out, where either your friends are going to hop on that wagon, or they're going to be something that just fall off. And it could be a little lonely in the beginning, but like I said, your energy always attracts the right crowd that you're looking for. And that's essentially what's happened to me and in many of my clients. So,
yeah, I think the two definitions I was going to say were, you know, one is you're lonely, but you have goals that you're working towards. Like, there's mm-hmm. a reason, like you kind of mentioned, like you steer off the path of the regular people. And then there's another one where you're lonely and you don't have goals. And that's that's when you actually go through that sense of what the hell are you doing type thing.
Right.
I've been there. I know probably you have been there, but it's like when you're lonely, but you have goals, you know, you're willing to do whatever you need to do to kind of make it happen, which is something that I've gone through within the past year. You know, there's been points where I felt lonely, and happened at the beginning of quarantine because you couldn't see anybody.
Right.
But there's always a goal. There was always a goal in my mind to work on. So whether it was messaging you on Instagram, like that's kind of how I do everything. It's message, like you kind of mentioned, messaging friends on Instagram could go a long way towards kind of solving that problem.
Yeah, for sure, man. I think that's what a lot of people fail to realize is like utilize, because it's like, you know, when, you know, a lot of my clients, when first mentioning like, hey, just surround yourself with people that are like you. Well, all my friends don't work out, or hey, they eat unhealthy. Well, you know, there's social media, there's Facebook groups, there's so many different ways that you can build those relationships. And I think a lot of people just they're uncomfortable, you know, reaching out. And it all goes about how you do it. I think the way you did it is very solid, right? You're like, hey, like, I know a couple of your friend group. You know, I've talked with them, would love to sit down and talk to you. And I'm like, oh, of course. So if you're someone that's, you know, entering into a new journey, I'll tell you right now, man, the majority of people, especially in the fitness space, if you reach out to them, you're like, hey, I'm new into the fitness space.
Yep.
I'm looking to be around people that are kind of doing the same thing, because right now I don't have that. You know, any tips, insight for me would be awesome. Like, that simple message right there goes a long way if you do that over time, right? Next thing you know, you look up and your network is like, oh, now I'm around healthy people that care about their life and what they do.
So, yeah, and then you have friends like all over the country, and it's like you can go you can go have different adventures, and it leads to kind of a life of prosperity in a sense. Like, you get the experiences that you never thought you would get.
Right.
Like, that's why I always say you never know how far one simple message can go. That's why I say always. Kind of, I guess I'll bring it back to like 2016, where they just like the term "just send it." Like, that's literally what you have to do. Like, it's honestly your one. What's the worst that someone's going to say? It's like, no. It's like, not even that. Most people, I think, a lot of people in the fitness industry or people outside the fitness industry assume that we're clicky, and that we don't want people to join. But no, we are some of the most accepting people, because we've seen what it's done for us, and what it can do for other people is something magical. So,
For sure. And I think we were even talking, I was listening to a podcast. One of our other good friends, Sean, you probably know Sean.
Yeah.
He had one of our good friends, Bryce, on, and Bryce was kind of talking about, you know, the phobia that, you know, new lifters or people that are trying to pursue fitness have when they go into a gym. Right. And just saying, hey, if you talk to the majority of the people, and it'll probably be more than likely to kind of give you some of that assistance to say, hey, I can help you out. Like, if you ask, it just takes simply asking, because we create so many false stories in our head. Just because, you know, especially when you're trying to chart unforeseen territory, like in your head, you're just going to tell yourself so many crazy stories. Like, I do it even now, like, you know, having a fitness business and kind of pursuing that venture. I've told myself in, you know, crazy stories before where I just have to calibrate myself and talk to friends and like open up and be vulnerable. So,
yeah, no, it's actually really funny, because I have someone who is a client of mine, and they are just beginning. So I have the chance to fully work with them. and be and they're like a beginner client, so I had the chance to like immerse them in. And we just had like a heart to heart the other day. It was out of nowhere. It wasn't really expected. It was just from a check-in, and it ended up leading to like this huge conversation for like 40 minutes, which was worth it because he told me we found his why, and his why was to inspire others to actually like inspire his family to get better at health.
Oh, nice.
I was like, the family's the hardest people to, I was like, you know what? That's a great freaking why to do everything. It's like, you want to show your family that you can be an example and that you want to be someone who's great. And he, I was like, you know what? You're taking up a hard challenge because family's the hardest people to actually change when it comes to this, because no one takes it seriously. Any advice that I give to my family? Nope. It's just like, yeah, they just take it. And it's kind of like, next.
Yeah, I've been doing this for years, and like my family is just now starting to like turn the corner. Like, okay, maybe he's on to something.
Yeah.
Where that, you know, I think especially like with COVID and everything, being in the house, seeing like how the most, you know, susceptible population to COVID are those that are obese. And like, they seeing that is like, oh, okay, well, maybe we should start listening to this too. You know, I never get sick, and you know, I'm thankful for that. And it's because I just take care of my body, and you know, I get sleep, proper sleep, work out, eat right, and enjoy myself, right? Make sure that I'm taking care of my mental well-being. So,
yeah. So let's kind of jump into, I guess, a little bit of your background. So we kind of talked about this before. We literally, right before we hopped on, I'm unfortunately wearing a Penn State shirt, according to James. And he was a D1 athlete at, I'm not going to say it because it, at Ohio State University. I do not say the, I'm not a big proponent of that. I will go on air and I will get hate from a lot of people for saying that.
Wow. Okay. But
I kind of want to know, get into your background of how you even got into the athletics there, what it was like even being a D1 athlete, because a lot of people don't understand how hard it is to be both a student and an athlete.
Yeah, let's see, where do I start? Do you want to go back to my childhood, or do you want to just like kind of walk all the way up through that? So
honestly, up to you. Honestly, you take it away. This is your story. Yeah. This is your time to shine. So up to you.
Yeah. So I just kind of jump right into kind of like where I got into sports. So I got into sports really early, at the age of like 4. And part of that is just my father wanted me to be a part of sports because he knew that it had benefits, right?
Yeah.
From there, I played football up until all the way through high school, but I joined a track and field club when I was like 8, because my parents realized, okay, like this dude has speed. Like, how do we, you know, continue to improve on his speed? Cause naturally he's gifted. So let's see what we can do to kind of like see where this can take us on top of football. So, you know, in sports for me in the community that I grew up in, you know, I grew up in the inner city of Columbus. That's kind of your way out. That's like your ticket. Everyone knows, like, you know, I didn't necessarily have like a true, what someone would define as a career path. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I want to be a doctor or a lawyer. It was like, hey, I'm gonna play these sports, and that's gonna be my way out to be able to, I guess, achieve success, for a lack of better terms. Where, you know, I kind of gave sports my all, but what I didn't realize in that journey, you know, from 4 years old all the way up through college, was that I was learning life skills. And, you know, I took that very serious once I realized it. But prior to that, you know, I was just trying to do my best in a competitive environment to set myself up for success, to getting to a college that, you know, a D1 college to play sports. So then that way I can get education, because my parents didn't have money to pay for education. That wasn't ever a route. So I knew if I wanted to have, you know, future success, that I had to do well in sports, because if I didn't do well, I'm not a bookworm either. I'm not like crazy smart or anything when it comes to, you know, just sitting in a class. Like, I have ADHD. That's not the way that I operate. So,
same. I could not operate in a classroom. I'm too free thinking. So,
So very unconventional, talked all the time. Teachers would always say things like, you know, hey, we love James, but he talks a lot. And yeah, that was me. But so going back to the sports thing, I got into sports just because that was my ticket to further my education, because at the time that was the only route that was really presented to me as a kid as your way to build success was to go to college. And I couldn't disagree with that more now that I've been through college. But I will say that that through sports, I was able to learn a lot. And, you know, it just took a lot of dedication, a lot of practice, you know, and a lot of failures. And, you know, ultimately never giving up. And that's kind of been my theme, you know, that I've learned from my childhood all the way up until, you know, going to Ohio State. I actually didn't go initially to Ohio State. I didn't get recruited by Ohio State out of high school. I actually went to the University of Akron, where I got a D1 scholarship to run track. That's where I had my twins. And then I transferred my scholarship to Ohio State because luckily, and I shouldn't say luck because it's all meant to be, right? I was put in a position where they had this all-Ohio meet in Ohio, where all the universities in Ohio kind of have this track meet against each other. And that was my opportunity to kind of be like, yeah, Ohio State didn't recruit me, so let me show them what's up. And that's where I ended up winning the 100-meter dash for the all-Ohio and ended up transferring that same year because I found out that I had kids. So that was pretty crazy. But at the end of the day, like, you know, going back to just the grind of, you know, following your passion. My passion was sports at the time. You know, you have to give it your all. I can remember doing things such as, you know, staying later for practices and, you know, work. The big thing that a lot of people don't realize in track and field is form and technique is everything. You can be as fast as you want, but if you have form and technique, you'll never be able to get there. So, you know, thinking just going at it without any coaching and just, hey, I'm just running to point A to point B is going to get you there. That's not it, right? You have to have some type of direction on, you know, improving your form technique. And ultimately being okay with asking the question, how can I get better, and knowing that you don't have it all figured out. So I feel like that's kind of what led me into Ohio State in D1 sports ultimately. But yeah, man, it's been something that has carried into my professional life now. So,
yeah, I always wanted to ask this. This is a really stupid question just because I hate it so much. I mean, I played lacrosse, and one thing is you had to run a lot to get in condition. I always wanted to ask someone who did track and field as a sport, how do you enjoy running? So how do you enjoy running as a sport? I felt like every other sport, it's a form of conditioning, but everyone in high school always seems as a form of like torture in a way for their sport. Like they want to get through that preseason time when they just have to get in condition for the sport, and then once they're in, it's like the running literally just like stops. But I kind of want to know, like, how did you fall in love with track and field?
I think natural ability, honestly. Like, so no, realizing that there was opportunity, I think anytime you have something that you're good at, it's your responsibility to make the most of it. And I realized that, I had natural speed, something that just kind of was like given to me. It's like, okay, well, I have natural speed. How do I perfect that? How do I, you know, take what's given and make it useful? And, you know, that goes back to, you know, purpose, right? So, you know, I took, you know, my speed and realized that, okay, I have some speed. And granted, I'm not as fast as I used to be. I put that out there right now. but I just took advantage of it. Because I knew that, you know, there was more there. There was more opportunity. I initially thought football was going to be my route, but track, you know, just due to my size, I'm 5'8", now 175. But back in high school, man, I was 5'8", like 140. You know what I mean? I wasn't the biggest guy, and they really weren't taking the speedy guys at the time that I was graduating. But yeah, so I just wanted to maximize opportunity. And I knew that, you know, okay, I could be, you know, pretty decent at football, but I'm excelling hardcore in track and field. Like, how do I maximize that? And that's kind of where I focused my attention, was like, okay, I got this opportunity. I'm going to do my best with it and see where it gets me. And it ended up landing me to track and field. But it's so funny because, you know, when I was at Ohio State, I can remember having like debates about whose sport was harder. And my argument that could ultimately like shut the whole, it'd be like a mic dropper. It was the fact that what I do for a sport is your punishment. So like, it's like, dude, you can't argue with me. Like when you get in trouble, when you don't follow, you know, protocols, or you don't show up for practice, what's happening? You're running, right? Well, I'm doing that no matter what. So like, I always used to debate that. But when you start to, you know, become really good at it, then, and you start to see success in it, then it becomes fun. And it's such an individual but team sport at the same time, because, you know, you have your individual events, but then you also have like the relays. So it's kind of fun having that pressure. I'm weird. I kind of like pressure. And when you're excelling in an area and you're kind of looked upon as like one of the top in the sport, like people are coming for your title, coming for your place, right? And I kind of like that pressure, and you know, to kind of walk around and know that at any moment, you know, that can be taken away from you was something that just kind of like brought confidence in me, I guess. So yeah, man, I like track for the individuality that it can allow you to excel individually, but then also there's that team aspect too. So
yeah, I feel like you actually said something that kind of really clicked with me, because I think this goes into all aspects of life, and this is what you truly learn is like when you have an ability. And for me, I guess it'd be, well, this is, I guess, where ADHD kind of paid off, where I have a podcast, wow, so I could talk for like years. But it's when you have that ability to make something have purpose, that's when opportunities come in life. I feel like that's like when you're able to use the skills that you were given and you're able to turn that around into not only talent, but it's opportunity driven. That's when you really start to like succeed in life.
Yeah. And that's so true, right? We all have, you know, talents that, you know, God has given us. It's our responsibility to use those to then help others. Right. I always talk about servant leadership, and servant leadership is literally that. So, you know, thinking about, okay, what am I good at? What do I excel at just for me being myself, and then figuring that out and then doubling down on it. And, through sports, the one thing that I feel like I've realized is that like I do a really good job at leading people, because I lead from a servant leadership style, meaning that like, hey, I'm here to help you be better, right? Because I know if I can help you be better, you and I become an ally, and we can help each other at the end of the day. And yeah, through sports, I was always a part of, like, you know, I was a captain on every sports team that I ever been all the way up through college, which then led me into leadership roles in corporate America, which then led me to having my own business and being able to help coach and guide people. So, you know, it's just crazy to see how once you start to get in your flow and your calling, that, you know, I don't look at success as like a monetary thing. I look at success as like you using your abilities to help others. And the monetary piece just comes as a byproduct of you being in your calling and in your flow. So, yeah, man, it's, I think you're spot on with that.
Yeah. Impact. You know, I always say this, and a lot of people always preach it when they're in this industry. It's like impact truly goes farther than any amount of money ever will. Like, oh, yeah, that's what, like, getting those, I always say this, and I always repeat this on this podcast, but every time I get a DM or I get a message saying someone related something to this episode, and then they were able, it gave them the power to tell me and impact them deeper, like that gives me more purpose than someone using like a discount code that I was given for running the podcast. Like, that's like,
yeah,
anything like the, like, just from generating businesses from being able to create that impact and people trusting in you to lead them.
Yeah, for sure. I totally agree, man. And once you realize that, cause I remember like when I first, cause I didn't, like I said, come from humble beginnings. You know, money was not something that was of abundance of my family, where my whole goal was like, oh, I'm gonna make six figures before I'm 30. I did it, and I realized I wasn't happy. I was like, well, what the hell? Like, it was because I was chasing the wrong thing. I was chasing monetary. I was chasing the money as success rather than chasing my passion. So when I got to, you know, that six figure mark, I looked up and I'm like, well, damn, well, I really don't like what I do. I'm really not passionate about, you know, the company that I'm at right now. I ended up just like leaving. I was like, okay, well, I need to rethink things, because, you know, what I thought it was once I got here wasn't it. And that's when I started to really just follow my heart when it came to what I wanted out of life. You know what I mean? Sports has always been the catalyst for a lot of opportunities that I've had, but I needed to figure out where my passion lied as far as how I can contribute, give back, because that's so important. And that's where, you know, me starting to jump into, you know, just like the leadership roles that align with my core values and who I am as an individual. And then fitness started to come into play. And, you know, the fitness, you know, thing for me started all with me going on my own journey. So after sports was done, you know, if you're just all in on sports and, you know, that is all over and now it's time for you to be an adult and find a career and passion, yeah, like, that's what the challenge was for me. And like, I completely left the gym. I wasn't eating right. And that's kind of where I dove into just like, you know, alcohol, partying, staying up late, and, you know, chasing other things for happiness because I didn't have that purpose-driven life. And that's where I got to my, like, all-time low. And I mentioned this on another podcast. I ended up getting hit by a drunk driver and ended up totaling my car because I had terrible money mindsets. I ended up having to move back in with my parents. And that's when I was like, okay, like what am I really after? What is my purpose? Because this clearly is not it, right? I have twin boys who are 13 now, but at the time, you know, we were living in my father's basement, and that just wasn't, for me as a father, that was not a good feeling at all. It was probably one of my lowest points in my life, where that's when I had to start like digging deep within, like, okay, like I know I have abilities. I know I have talents. Like, why am I not using them? Why am I choosing other things? It's because I didn't have any purpose. So got myself back into a better routine with my health and fitness, hired a coach, you know, ended up doing bodybuilding shows, saw a lot of success. People ended up reaching out. And that's why I'm like, okay, people are wanting my help in this. Like, how do I better educate myself and set myself up for this? Because clearly there's something that I have to offer, going back to that servant leadership. And that's how I got into like coaching and, you know, start transforming bodies. And it's crazy how fast like things can kind of take off. I felt like in 2017 is when I started my business. And that's when I had like the idea to start going all in and whatnot. And I can remember writing workouts on like Excel documents and like sending meal plans via Word and like sending like links to YouTube.
That's what I do now.
How to do the exercise. Yeah, man. So I can remember that grind and then kind of like look it up now. And I'm like, oh, crap. Like, because, you know, when you're trying to pursue greater things, like, you know, especially if you're someone that's really driven, you can get in your head about your success, where I have to sometimes go back to where I started. And that's how that's how I'm able now to continue to keep pushing. It's like, hey, yeah, we're conditioned to really recognize what's not going well. Like, so we have to make it a conscious effort to focus on those things that are going well and having gratitude and reflecting. Cause if you don't do that, you'll put yourself in a dark place, which ends up not allowing you to show up at your best, which ultimately doesn't lead you to serving others better. So yeah, I don't even know how I got on that topic, but at the end of the day, yeah, like going back to like the purpose piece, man, you know, that's what anyone has to do when you want to truly be happy, is find your purpose, your passion, and what you're good at, and then figure out a way to serve others.
You know, it's actually really good that you actually brought up a few of those points, because last year I actually went through my own bout with alcohol and partying, which is, mm-hmm. you know, go 21, you know, they say 20 fun, right? But no, I got lost in it, and it actually turned out we kind of have a very similar thing. Is like, I didn't get in an accident, but I blacked out one night, and like the next day I was like, it honestly, I blacked out so many times I can't even count how many within last year, that I said enough was enough at that point. And with that, I got into my whole self-development stuff. I quit drinking for like a whole month, which took a lot to do right cold off the bat. But I got into self-development, and from that, this thing was created. Like, literally, nice. Like a few, like I think like a month after I quit, this was created. And, you know, then you really find what drives you, and like, it just brings up points you give it. Cause I reflected yesterday, I released my 1 year episode, and I kind of reflected through the whole episode, kind of like my whole year of what it's been like, because now I'll go back to the episode and remember where I was like 1 year into it. And then I'll go back to the first ever episode and remember how shitty of an episode that was, like you kind of recording it. But how important it was to actually do that, because led me not only to the podcast, but the coaching that I do as well. And like, you brought up points that I do now, like I do Excel sheets, I do Google Drive, everything. Like that's how I run my client work. And it kind of just brings memories into my head of when I actually started all this, which was just a quick, I guess a year ago for this and 6 months and like 8 months ago for coaching. So it's like, nice. You know, you really get to see it, but you know, finding, you sometimes have to go through those lows and then reflecting. The toughest thing I think is reflecting on those lows, like going back into it, because it is a ton of darkness. I always say to people, like, you have to be careful when you do go back and reflect. You have to go back in reflection, as like you said, with a sense of gratitude. Because if you don't,
for sure,
like you said, you're not going to be showing up for anybody if you just go and reflect and look back at what was wrong with you back then.
Oh yeah. And that's, and I think, you know, for your listeners, that's so important. Like, you know, anybody that's listening to this, you know, you have to be able to track that progress, or you have to be able to reflect, you know, even going back to like me as an adult now, like the reason why I am the way I am now is because of some pain that I experienced as a kid. I knew that I didn't want that for my kids. You know what I mean? I grew up in, you know, Section 8 housing where there were murders, there was gang violence, you know, heavy police patrolling, and, you know, just not the normal environment where now, you know, I like to think of it as like there comes a point in time when you're driven by pain. And I feel like now I'm more so driven by passion. But to get out of that rut, I was driven by pain. I knew where I was at. And I was like, hey, I never want to have that for my kids. I know as an adult, I want to be able to provide more. And as you have those low points in your life, those are just reminders of, hey, you were able to get through that. Here goes another scenario where you're going to have to push through. You can get through it again. And they just like compile over top of each other. And the next thing you know, you've built up this just tolerance of confidence that allows you to continue to take on challenges in your life that that ultimately for most people wouldn't, you know, give up, you know? So yeah. It's important to reflect on your progress that you're making. A lot of people was like, hey, don't live in the past, but it's not living in the past. It's more so a reflection to help you catapult your future. Because if you don't look at how far you've come, you won't realize those small incremental gains has turned into a huge gain over time. And you'll end up talking yourself out of you know, going or continuing down that path of success. And just being, you know, productive towards your goals. So, you know, that, and that's the number one thing in fitness. That's why I say, hey, you always got to track. If you're not tracking, then you're lacking. I don't know. I just made that up. But if you're not tracking your progress, then how are you going to be able to measure the success of what you're doing? Yeah. So, you know, it goes hand in hand. And I always go back and reflect on, you know, the most challenging times that I have is because those are usually where something was birthed. You know, in that challenging time, there's a quote that Tony Robbins has that says that, I think it says, until the pain of remaining the same exceeds that of the pain of changing, then you will stay the same. So like, you know, your lowest point, like, you know, there'll be people that are say, hey, well, I think I'm doing okay. Like when it comes to fitness, you know what I mean? They haven't hit that pain threshold of really looking in the mirror one day and being like, okay, what the hell is going on? So they haven't made that effort to, they don't see the value in changing because their pain isn't hard enough. So, I don't know if you've heard that quote before, but I love that. That's something that I think about constantly.
Yeah. I've heard it a few times. I think it's probably come from one of your friends actually, probably most likely. but you know, I always just look at everything with a sense of gratitude now, just from being where I was. Like I came from heavy bullying, almost killing myself to now I'm here running a podcast. Mm-hmm. You told that ago to the 17-year-old me who almost died in this very room. Like you wouldn't think that. Like right. Sometimes I think it's kind of surreal in a way. I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, I'm actually doing this. Like I get to talk to these people every single day and it's like, it's pretty damn cool. But kind of going into something that you said, wow, my words, you said every single thing or every single hardship you've learned something from. And I wonder, is this one of your hardships when you were both an athlete and dealing with yourself being a father?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Going through this, I kind of want to go through this time frame with you real quick before we get into kind of leaving your job, which you touched on before, but I want you to touch on like what you learned from that time period when you were both in school and also taking care of two boys.
Yeah, man, that was probably one of the most challenging aspects of life for me. Cause you know, I was 19 when I had them. So I was still adolescent myself, you know, very early in my adulthood and could not navigate myself well, yeah. Let alone, you know, twin boys. And you know, that's super challenging because you're balancing, I'm balancing having newborn twins, I'm balancing working a job, then I'm balancing going to school, I'm balancing sports, travel. And there was a lot there. And I feel like, you know, through all of that, what I learned about was perseverance, you know, pushing. You know, I always told myself in the back of my head, I was never going to be a statistic that, you know, in the African-American community, it's, you know, the statistics show that, you know, African-American males are not a part of their kids' life. And I knew that was never going to be me, because it's not how I was raised. And it's also just not me and my nature. Like I'm always accountable. And, you know, I never looked at that scenario as a mistake. I looked at it as a learning for me. And in that learning, what I realized, like I said, was perseverance. And that's, if you want something bad enough, you'll figure out a way to make it work. And that's what I kept telling myself, was like, I'm going to figure it out. Like, it doesn't matter. I don't know anything about parenting. And that's a crazy thing, like, to think about. It's like, a lot of people are like, well, you know, and kind of correlating this back to fitness, it's like, okay, well, I don't know necessarily what to do when it comes to fitness. And that's what talks them out of it. But it's like, okay, if you were to have a kid, like, and you know, you weren't expecting to have a kid, would you just say that you don't know what to do, or would you figure it out? You're probably going to figure it out, right?
Yeah.
So like, that's the thing, is like, you know, you'll figure out whatever you put your mind to figuring out. You know what I mean? If you find a value in it, it'll catapult you. And at the end of the day, are you going to be perfect? No, but you're going to continue to learn. Every scenario, every day is going to be different. But as you mature in that time frame extends, you're going to be able to grasp a lot and look back and be like, dang, I can't believe I just did that. And that goes for anything in life. Whenever you're trying to go down the road less traveled, there's going to be a lot of unknowns. But your perseverance, your passion, and your passion for success is what's going to drive you into figuring it out. So, I would say that was probably the most challenging aspect of you know, pursuing, you know, having to being a father and being a part of athletics and having a job and school and all that. All I kept telling myself was like, hey, push through. This is just something that you're gonna learn from and grow from, and you'll be happy at the end. And I truly am. Like, my kids, it's funny now, because, you know, they're 13 and their friends' parents are like my parents' age.
Yeah.
and it's just funny to see now, you know, having them in a really good school district here in Columbus, in the suburbs, and being able to provide them better than what I had is fulfilling, because statistics say the complete opposite. When you think of, you know, my demographics, where I come from, like, could have easily been a different scenario, different story. And I'm glad that I pushed myself, because when I pushed myself in that moment, it gave me confidence to push myself in any other moment. So,
yeah. You know, I'm not from the same demographic, and I don't try to be the same as anybody else, but I remember my mom. I brought this story up once on this show. I always say, like, my mom stays, she works for University of Penn. So we live in the suburbs. Probably one of the best school districts in PA. I am very fortunate enough to grow up in that area. But she stayed in that thing. She stayed at that university and still working there now to give us benefits for us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's pretty funny how much we truly don't realize how much parents sacrifice to give us the best life. I kind of realized that this year when I was doing my own thing and how much I was sacrificing myself to make what I wanted to happen in this world for me to work, like, that I was able to take that step back. Like, we've been mentioning this whole podcast, like, taking that step back, reflecting on what my parents were doing during my childhood. And I was able to reflect back and, like, see what they kind of gave up, like, what my mom gave up a lot to be able to give us a more successful life, which is something that, I mean, I'm in debt to her a million years, because she's like the best ever. Mary, if you're listening, I love you. I call my mom by her first name. It's a running joke that we have with us and the kids. But
nice.
You know, it's really funny though how much parents really do sacrifice us to try to give us that best life because of what they went through. Because my mom went through a rough childhood herself, and she didn't want that for us. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty cool to go through that moment this year.
Yeah, for sure, man. And my parents are divorced, and, you know, I live with my dad for a little bit, live with my mom for a little bit growing up, where, you know, I was able to grasp a lot of that. Like, my parents sacrificed a lot to provide and try to give us opportunity. You know, I can remember my mom was working at a temp agency, when I was in like middle school and, you know, she's a single mother, raising three kids. And my sister had a kid at age 16. So she was a grandmother raising a, you know, grandchild at that same age, like crazy stuff, man. And to see her persevere and be able to move through, you know, us, you know, going from a Section 8 government housing to the suburbs in Gahanna, that's kind of like where my transition, like, kind of gave me more perspective is going from the inner city to the suburbs in ninth grade was like eye-opening for me. And kind of watching my mom make that transition kind of let me, it motivated me to continue that path. It's like, hey, like, it doesn't just end with your mom providing opportunity. You know, you as a father now, you have to continue that. And it's funny, literally I was dropping my son's at football practice right now.
Yeah.
I was dropping him off and there was like this detour. And I pull up and I'm like trying to get to his middle school and like there's this construction guy there. He's like, oh, you can't go this way. And then he was like, he stopped. He was like, he's like, man, how old are you? And I was like, he's like, I'm 33. And I just turned 33 back in June. He was like, man, he's like, man, you have a nice car, man. Like you live in this nice area. And I'm like, yeah. I was like, he's like, how's the school district? And then he's like, is this your son? Like just asking me so many questions. You could tell. He was African-American male. You can tell that, you know, his upbringing, it was something that he saw in me where he felt like, man, if this guy can get himself to this place in this area of town and whatnot, there's something I need to grasp for him, going back to that servant leadership. So I saw the opportunity to take advantage of that because I'm like, you know, A, I'm blessed to have my kids in the school district that they're in and to be driving a nice car that I am, which I don't even care about my car. Like I was telling you before, like, my car got broken into right before here. So like, I still haven't even sorted that out yet, but you know, I'm not a materialistic person like at all, but it is nice to have nice things because I didn't grow up with nice things. And then to see someone recognize that, I'm like, okay, what can I give to this person to help them have a breakthrough in their head? And I don't always do it right. And you know, but what I do is like, you know, hey man, what's your passion? What do you like to do, man? Don't let anyone tell you that you can't do that and be successful, because that is just, that we call those dream killers. And like, just having that conversation with people, man, and providing insight, you know, is always what I want to do, man, because I truly believe that we don't maximize. I think I read something, and I don't back me on this by any like, you know, journals or anything, but they say we use like 10% of our brain's capacity. And like, that I truly do believe that, because I feel like individuals, you know, talk themselves out of so much opportunity because of fear of what someone else may think or because of what someone else may have said about what they want to pursue, that we just never really maximize that. So I always want to make sure that I can like inspire someone to pursue something that others may have like kind of like shot down in the past. So
yeah, that's why I do this. Like being someone who almost killed themselves at 17 doing this. Like I said, it's like, you know, I'm aspiring, hopefully someone who is gone through something similar and is going through it now, but they hear maybe this 5 minutes of conversation right here and it changes their life. Like, that's like what I aspire to do with this is bring this to the world. That's the coolest part of doing the fitness and any of the coaching and the podcasting, everything is that like we have the power ourselves in certain moments to aspire random people. Like through our content, it hits home with so many people and that sparks like those DM messages I was saying. And those DM messages can go, those conversations could go so long and so deep that you can end up just aspiring someone right there and you really don't even know it until you kind of look back on it and reflect upon it.
Yeah, for sure. No, I think you're so, that's so true, man.
Yeah. So I kind of wanted you, and you know, you kind of brought this up where you want to pursue your passion, pursue what you wanted to do. And, you know, I am actually starting in corporate America this Monday coming up. So kind of hit something. I kind of want to give you let's just kind of break it down at least a little bit, like your story of you leaving that safe, secure corporate job to venture into something heavily risky as to pursue like your passion of being a fitness coach in a way.
Yeah, for sure, man. So like I said earlier, I've held like multiple different leadership roles with corporations, you know, from the time of graduating all the way up through up till even now. I actually do have a job with a corporation. I'll kind of explain why and kind of like how that partnership looks. But You know, sports led me into a lot of leadership roles. The one that was very challenging was the one before the one I'm in now, where I started to see, you know, every company has their core values, and you know, everyone's supposed to live by them, breathe them. And that's something that I really take serious, because, you know, coming from where I come from, values is what got me through. You know what I mean? Having values and having, you know, goals and beliefs is what pushed me into, you know, being at my best. And I started to realize at this company that I was at, that I wasn't aligned with how the company actually went upon expressing those values. Like, they were just writings on the wall. No one was truly living by them. And I caught myself, you know, making decisions as a leader based off of popular opinion and not based off of how I truly felt, based on, you know, situations and values. And once you get to a place where you're now making decisions off of popular opinion, then you're not being your true self. You're not being at your best. And that started to eat away at me, because I am someone that is authentic. I am someone that genuinely cares to do my best. And when you feel like you can't do that because of fear of how someone may retaliate, you know, this is my source of income, right? So it's like, okay, I don't want to risk that. I got twin boys. I can't be out here risking that. So of course I'm going to go with the popular opinion. But then I had to look at myself and I had to go, James, like, okay, like, if you continue to do this, you know, how is this going to impact your ability to be there for your kids? You're saying the reason why you want to follow this route is because, you know, you want to provide for your kids. But if you can provide for your kids, but you're not at your best to help grow and develop your kids, then what is it really worth? And, you know, I had to look myself in the mirror and say, yeah, that makes total sense. So I ended up stepping away from my corporate job because I just was not happy. And in that process, I had already started, I had just gotten my LLC for my business. And the year before that, I had only made like $500 from online training with people. And that was it. So I quit a six-figure job to go after $500. Yeah. And, you know, but with all that being said, I knew that I had the ability. I can remember the last conversation I had, you know, with that corporation was, hey, I'm betting on myself. And that was literally my exact words. Hey, I'm going to bet on myself. I'm leaving like 2 weeks and I'm out. And that was kind of it. And with that, that was a very powerful and pivotal moment for me. Like, when I said that out loud, it like hit me, like it hit me in a way that was like, yeah, no, like, you got this. Like, so, you know, I ended up investing in business coaching. I got business coaching just because I didn't know, like I said, when you go down that road, less travel, there's going to be a lot of unknowns. But just because there's unknowns doesn't mean that you don't have answers or ways to find answers. Right. I began to get resourceful about my business. I began to take it a lot more serious because I had skin in the game now, because I'm investing in coaching. And I was able to leave, and pretty much all, you know, I left the corporation back in 2018, and from 2019 until about the end. So for all of 2019, essentially, I was all in on my business. And I did a little bit of in-person training, but then I did some online where I had an opportunity from a corporation that reached out to me where I work now as a leader there. And they're covering my meds. They're a software healthcare tech startup here in Columbus. Okay. That's owned by McKesson, who's a huge pharmaceutical company here in the United States. But I had an opportunity, a very unique opportunity, to take on a leadership role with them. And I can remember the conversation, and like, cause I remember, okay, I had a bad taste in my mouth from corporate America. And I didn't really want to, I knew I wasn't going back down that route. I actually declined the first time. So I declined to even take the opportunity. I was like, no, I'm good. My business is going really well right now. Like, I appreciate the opportunity, but I'm just not there. And then they came back again. And this is I kind of like was like, okay, let me hear them out. Like, let me set up an actual meeting where we talk through the opportunity. This company has unlimited PTO. This is a company that their core values, like, they are my core values when I think about who I am. And you could see that in them as far as like their everyday, like when I went into the office, like, everyone was super like relatable and whatnot. And they're just like your non-traditional corporate American job. Like, they have beer on tap on every floor. you know, they make their own wine. They give you catered lunch every day, and you can work from home. I was working from home before COVID was a thing. So I could work from home, and I had a ton of flexibility there where they actually pursue and seek out entrepreneurial like mindsets, where They're like, no, we want you to have your business still, right? We want to help you invest in your business by helping us grow ours. So like, I was like, damn, are they serious? Like, I couldn't believe it was real.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've had a lot of success. We work with some of the top pharmaceutical companies in the world, and we help them, you know, speed up their turnaround time for getting medication for patients that actually need them. And we have a really great mission. You know, we help patients get the medications they need to live healthier lives is their mission. And when I think about what I do, it aligns more so with what I see myself doing, and that's helping people live healthier lives. And, you know, it was crazy because that moment, if I would have never taken that step to say, hey, I'm a bet on myself, I wouldn't be in a position I am now where I can still invest in my business. I can still grow and scale my business, and I don't have to do it in fear of another corporation looking at that as a bad thing or an opportunity for someone not to be invested in their company. I'm probably more invested knowing that this company supports what I'm doing more than ever, right? Than I would be if some company was just like, oh, like if, like for instance, you know, if a company, I got this last company told me that they thought I was selling like protein to team members, like just like some of the most absurd things. And I'm like, why would I be pushing protein to team members? Like, it doesn't even make sense. Like, do people ask me about protein and like what they should take? Yeah, but I'm not like out selling it. So it was like crazy. Some of the things that they had like brought up to me where I actually just accepted a leadership role with, you know, Cover My Meds, where I am one of their wellness leaders to head up one of the four pillars that they have. So they have four different pillars for their holistic wellness approach, and it's relational, mental, financial, and then physical. And I head up the physical aspect of the pillar for a company of, you know, over 1,500 employees, where they're just truly embracing who I am. And that goes back to what I was saying earlier, when you follow your passion and you follow, you know, your calling to give, opportunities show up that you won't even believe were possibilities. And it's just crazy to see that now and see my life kind of like, you know, go in a direction that I've always wanted to go from following my passion. So
yeah,
figure out your passion. You know, if there's anybody that's listening right now, dig deep, man. You know, whatever you're good at, say, okay, I'm good at, I don't know, if you're good at, who knows what it is, poetry. You know what I mean? Don't let that be something like, oh, like, well, everyone's good at poetry. There's so much poetry out there that I can't, like, you're going to tell yourself a lot of limiting beliefs behind what you're good at. But follow your passion, and success will come, and you'll be surprised. So
yeah, you know, it's really funny because I got a fortunate opportunity like last year, like at the end of March, with the company I am going to work with now. They offered me an internship out of nowhere. This came out of the blue. Like, this was out of absolute nowhere. I didn't even apply for it. They got a hold of my resume from a friend, and I got the internship. And from there, you know, I kind of made the most of it. I networked the shit out of myself for that whole summer. Like, that's what I spent my time doing, was just network, network, network. And, you know, and then I developed this. And, you know, it's pretty cool. It's like they have fully embraced, even before I even started working there. I told them, like, I have this going on. I have what I'm doing. And they fully embrace, like, what I'm doing on the side as well. They're like, I asked, like, am I okay to run the podcast? Am I okay to run my own business? And they're like, yeah, we love that. Honestly, it's like one of the reasons why they brought me on is because, like, I have this mindset where I take action, take action, take action. And, you know, I decided to still, I haven't gone full on all in. I mean, I've written about the day I fully leave eventually, which is going to be a pretty cool day because I know it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. But, you know, the company gave so much to me that I was like fully, when they offered me the full-time job, I was like, of course. I was like, you guys gave me an opportunity that everybody else overlooked before, and they didn't have an action taker. And now you have someone who's not only an action taker, but an entrepreneur at it as well. And I'm like, you got pretty damn lucky, but I'm pretty damn grateful for the company that I've fallen into because their core values match with mine. And I've luckily been able to see that over the past year that I've been waiting to kind of join full time with them. But you know, it comes down to, you never know. I also say, always take the opportunities you kind of have to think about too, because like you mentioned, you declined your first time and then you thought about it and then you're like, that sounds like a damn good opportunity, because you never know where opportunities land. That's why I always say, I'm like, honestly, whether it's an internship, whether it's a job, whether it's whatever you're doing, it's like, you go full in on that and you're going to get compensated for it, whether it's monetary, whether it's relationships, networking. Like, I've gone full in on this and my network's expanded tenfold. Never would have thought I would have met people on here that I've met. So it's like, whatever you do, it's kind of, you have to go all in on it, because that's how you truly get to see the benefit from actually doing it.
Yeah, for sure, man. And it's really just doubling down on being yourself. You know what I mean? Just be yourself. Yep. Don't try to be anyone else. Don't try to mimic anyone else. Just truly be yourself, follow your passion. I feel like I'm saying that until I'm blue in the face, but yeah, you know, because now how you got to think, a lot of people are like, quit your job and burn the ships, you know, it's not always the right way to go. Right. You know, I think if you're in a shitty situation, you don't like showing up for whatever job you have right now. Yeah. Quit it. But at the same time, if you have an opportunity that is you're in a good situation, you're happy, you don't mind showing up for work every day, and you're still able to grow your business and do that freely, then look at the company that you're working for now as the number one investor towards your business. Because if that's your main source of income, then anything that you make from that company, you're going to be able to spill into investing and growing your business. And that's exactly what I'm doing now. A lot of people are like, oh, you make this crazy amount of money. I'm like, no, not really, because I pretty much invest everything back into my business that I make.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I understand that, you know, shiny objects are going to be there, right? Like, you know, I could easily just take the money and not invest in any business coaching, because business coaching is not cheap. I'm now in my second year working with my mentor and it's $22,000 a year. So like, when you think about that, like, I could have easily been like, oh, I could take $22,000 and I can do a lot more with it. But I know that I'm meant for more. I know that it's bigger than me. And what I'm trying to do is bigger than me. So I need to continue to invest in that and continue to grow that in order to get myself, you know, in a position to step away and be like, yeah, I can truly step away and it not impact me at all. You know what I mean? And my business coach is super, you know, I consulted with him on that before I took the opportunity. I was like, hey, Vince, I have this really, my business coach is Vince Del Monte. He's like one of the number one online coaches, you know, in the world. And, you know, I connected with him. I'm like, hey, there's this opportunity. My business is going well. I'm trying to do X amount this year. I don't really need this opportunity. You know, what do you think? And he's like, well, you know, what about the company has you questioning if you should do it or not? And I'm like, their values. He's like, well, what are their values? So their values are, you know, be yourself, you know, drive for results, you know, be selfless. Like, these are their core values. I'm like, okay, like, these things align with me. He's like, well, if the company aligns with you and they're saying that they want you, you know, you don't have to, you know, burn the ships now. He was like, we can keep building. He's like, I'm confident in your passion to keep going for what you're going for. And, you know, if you don't see this as a downfall, he's like, yeah, go ahead. They're going to be your number one investor and you growing your business. And as long as they're on board with that, you're good to go. And that's where the question came. It's like, hey, can I still run my business and be a part of your company? And it was like, yeah. So, when you're in your flow, you're in your calling, man, things will show up and it's not coincidence. It's all part of a plan. It's all part of, you know, purpose. It's all part of you going and doing what most people are fearful of doing fearful of going and pursuing their passion out of fear of failing. So, you just got to understand that there's never failures. It's always learnings. There's always going to be learnings that you have. And I'm just thankful for the opportunity that I have, you know, with Cover My Meds to be able to, you know, help them scale and grow their business, which I'm in the business unit that is actually the growth engine of the company. And I'm already taking on, you know, additional brands as we continue to go and get bigger. So I'm helping them, they're helping me, and I'm in a good place now. But obviously they know that there will be a time when I step away from it, but you know, I'll be there for at least 3 years before that happens, just because I have a number in my head that I want to get to before I step away from my job again. Last time I stepped away and I didn't really have a plan. That was because I wasn't happy. I was not happy, and I'll never, there's not a price you can put on my happiness. And that was where I was like, hey, I'm done. I don't care what is out there. I trust and believe in myself that I'll be able to make it work. And here I am today, probably at my happiest. I can't say that I'm not happy. And my car just got broken into, and I lost about $1,000 worth of stuff, and I'm not worried about it. So, like, you know, that's where I am now today. You know, a couple of years ago, my car got broken into. I'd probably be freaking out because I had terrible money mindsets, and you know, did not have an abundance mindset. Where, you know, I've challenged and coached myself through some of those battles to where now it's just like, you know, it's so funny. My good friend Jordan Duggar, you may know him. He always refers to money as just fun coupons.
He's been a frequent guest on. He's been a guest on here one or two times.
Yeah, that's a good friend of mine. And like, you know, he said something to me one time when we were in Vegas. He's like, he said it so nonchalantly too. He's like, all money is just fun coupons. And I'm like, well, damn, Jordan, you're fucking right, dude. It is. That's all it is. It's just money that we use to have fun. I'm like, yeah, we don't need to put any value behind just their fun coupons. So, like, I use that now. He probably doesn't even know that I use it as much as I do. But ever since he said that to me, it's kind of like really just helped me understand, you know, that that's all that it is. And, you know, to really live in my passion and be a servant leader, you know.
Awesome.
I'm willing to do what I have to do to help people do better. So,
yeah. And, you know, it's kind of going to lead us. I mean, you kind of just gave a lot of life lessons, Lee, in that short of time span. But we're going to get to the final three questions here because I don't want to take up any more of your time. And I want to make
sure. I got to head out here in about 10 minutes. So,
yeah. So we'll make this short, brief. This is the last three questions I ask every single guest. First one is, what three things, to kind of just simply break it down, that people might have learned that you want people to take away from this episode?
Yeah, I would say, you know, the first thing is chase fear. You know, if it makes you uncomfortable, it's probably something that is going to take you to another level, right? Fear is met with resistance because of that. So, I would say, you know, chase those fears. Don't let fear hold you back. That is a good sign that, you know, that you're trying to pursue something, you know, more, I guess, greater than what most people go after. So, you know, chase fear. Don't be afraid of it. We all have it, right? It's just, you know, the ability to challenge it. The next thing I would say is follow your passion. You know, when you follow passion, success will come, right? I think I'm a huge believer that passion leads to success. It's because you're not focused on success. All you're focused on is like success. Like I said earlier, like my whole thing was thinking success was monetary and like chasing money. Like I got there and I wasn't happy. But if you chase your passion and something that you enjoy, success will come. And then the next thing I would say, as a takeaway would be to take time and reflect. You know, I think a lot of times, you know, whether you're on a journey that's fitness related and you've gotten to a place where you're like, damn, I haven't seen progress in 2 months. Like, keep pushing. You know what I mean? Think about how consistent you've been and focus on the habits that you've built, not necessarily the results that you're getting. When you start focusing on the habits that you've changed to live a healthier life, when you start focusing on habits that you've created to be better in life in general, you know, that, like I said before, you know, success will come when you focus on those habits instead of like what you don't have.
Awesome. Second to last question is, what three books and or podcasts would you recommend everybody either read or listen to?
Okay, three books. The first one, The Four Agreements by Don Ruel McGee's, changed the game for me back in 2013. As far as like not taking things personal, really, really just kind of like let me step away from the reality. I was a big people pleaser, and that book kind of freed me from that. I would say the next one would be You're a Badass at Making Money. So just because you're not an entrepreneur, you don't have an entrepreneur drive, doesn't mean you're not a badass at making money. You could still manifest money. You can still put yourself in scenarios to be able to attribute wealth. You just have to realize that you're a badass at making money. So read that book and it'll give you some values there. That changed the game for me just around the limiting beliefs that I had around money, because I grew up where, you know, poverty was a thing, and, you know, we had our gas shut off and we were heating our apartment with the stove because we had electric still. So like, you know, I had terrible money mindsets where, you know, growing up, it was just due to my experiences, where that book helped me free some of those beliefs that I had behind money and how to achieve it. So I would definitely recommend that. And the last one is The War of Art. The War of Art is a book that that a good friend of mine, his name's Josh Driggs, mentioned that I should read. And it's just about the ego and how it shows up anytime you're trying to pursue something that's greater than you, right? It's where resistance shows up and the things your ego tells you about why you can't do something, or how it's going to pan out and try to predict the future, or, you know, just keep you just from those things that you want to pursue in life. So once again, it's the four agreements: you're a badass and making money, and the war of art.
Awesome. And I think you're going to like this last question. I think every single guest does. Your time to shameless plug yourself. Where can people find you? If they want to follow you, Instagram, message you, whatever. Basically, your time to shine. Where can people find you?
Yeah, it's so funny because I'm terrible at this because I'm like, I don't know what it is. I like to call it humble because I'm like, I've been taught like, oh, be humble as a kid, but no, I need to be better at this. But if you want to follow me on Instagram, my name is James Manley, _ on Instagram. So James Manley, spelled MANLEY._ You can follow me on there. If you listen to this podcast, say something to me. I'm very responsive in my direct messages. Post on a comment, vote in a poll, whatever. I respond to pretty much everybody that reaches out to me. I'm heavy in the DMs. I spend a lot of my time on Instagram. So you can find me there. And that's pretty much it. That's where I do a lot of my work. Facebook, I'm not too active on. So yes, shoot me a message on Instagram if you happen to come across this podcast, and I'll definitely connect with you just as well as I did with Anthony. I mean, that's how him and I met, was through Instagram, and he, you know, responded. I mean, he shot me a message, I responded to it, and here we are. So don't be fearful of reaching out to anyone, not just myself. You know, you never know, it's just a conversation. And I'll be sure to get back to you, especially if you let me know, like, hey, I heard you on, you know, Anthony Spada's podcast. So yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Before you go, I want to say, first off, thank you for coming on the show. I appreciate you taking the time out. We were able to book this one pretty damn quick, quicker than some.
Yeah,
really a lot. Some, you know, some people are very flexible, but yeah. I want to say thank you for coming on the show. And lastly, for everybody who enjoyed listening to this episode, definitely take a screenshot of you listening, tag James and I both on your Instagram stories, and we'll surely share some love back to you guys. As always, I am also, like James, I'm always on Instagram. I'm always in my DMs. Most of you guys know, because most of you guys message me. So definitely thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Ace of Spada podcast.
And just something else too, to kind of mention to your listeners, like, one way you always think about, like, how you can help someone, right? I know one way that you can help, you know, Anthony with his podcast is by just doing a simple rating on, you know, iTunes, where, you know, you can just give them, you know, some positive insight and reviews that'll help him, you know, continue to build up this podcast to where he wants to be. So make sure that you do that. You know, that's probably the most simplest task. It probably takes you less than 60 seconds to do. So I highly encourage that too.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely go do that, because I love when people leave the ratings, or when I get to read some of the reviews, whether they're good or bad. It kind of helps me see where people want to learn more from. So thanks for that, James. I appreciate that. Sure. And thank you everybody for listening to this episode of the Ace of Spada podcast.